Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. This one is another great opportunity for you to pick up and learn some more really natural English expressions while also just enjoying an authentic, unscripted conversation between three native speakers of English, all of whom come from the UK. So in this episode, I'm joined again by my friend Kate and a friend of hers called Mark. And basically, we just teach you 12 useful expressions and talk about those expressions in a really natural way. So you should really get to know those bits of language after listening to all of this. If you want to, you can actually read the expressions and their definitions and some examples on the website, which, of course, is teacherluke.podomatic.com. And if you find, I believe it's episode 114, you will also find all of the expressions which we teach you in this episode written down for your eyes to look at and for your brain to kind of process and eventually understand. And then hopefully at the end of the process, your mouth will then actually produce those expressions in a kind of natural way. And who knows, maybe if you're a student at a language school, your teacher will go, hello, you know, Jose is using some really interesting sounding natural expressions. I think we should move him up to the next class. And then before you know it, you're in the top group of your school and you're taking the Cambridge Advanced Certificate exam and you're passing it with an A grade. And following that, you get an incredibly lucrative job in a bank. And you invest your money wisely by meeting the right people and building a relationship with them, using, of course, English, your second language, which you've really pushed to the limit of its capability. And based on those great relationships that you build as a banker, you make the right investments. And guess what happens next? You earn billions and billions of pounds or dollars or euros, probably pounds because they're worth more. And then the next step, logically, of course, is to take over the world. And what do you do once you've taken over the world? That's right, you give everyone free ice cream, just like we know that you should. So hopefully that will happen. And, you know, if possible, if you could see it happen somehow, could you perhaps get me sort of two helpings of free ice cream? It's just that I'm kind of a bit fond of ice cream. Okay, so there you go. That's what you can expect to achieve from listening to Luke's English Podcast. And this episode is no exception. So I think it's probably a good time to start now. So that's it for this introduction. And you can now enjoy the episode. Thanks very much for listening. So I always begin an episode by saying, hello and welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. So that's probably a good way to begin this episode, isn't it? Don't you think? So, shall I do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. That's what I always do at the beginning of an episode, even with that kind of laughter in the voice thing, just for fun, really. It's a habit. You know, it's like my own jingle that I do live at the beginning of every episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. What shall I say at the beginning of this episode? Any ideas? Well, no, of course not, because that's my job, isn't it? I think I might start this again. Hello and welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast, and you find me here in a room, which is normal, I suppose. That's where you'd expect to find me, in a room. There's a ceiling above my head, walls on either side, and a floor below my feet. It's a reassuring feeling being in a room, because you know that if it rains, for example, you're not going to get wet.
I think that's very important. That's one of the main jobs of a room, wouldn't you say?
It's not raining though, Luke. It's a lovely day.
If it did rain, you know what it's like in Britain, there's a chance that if we weren't in a room, that we would get wet. So
theory is sound.
It's a sound theory. You can hear other voices. That's because I'm joined. That's not just you in your head. There aren't just voices in your head. If there are voices in your head, then you might need to go and get some help with that. But I suppose there are voices because you're probably listening to this in your headphones. So I hope you can work out which are the sort of crazy voices and which are the actual genuine voices on the podcast. If you can't distinguish between the voices in your head and the voices in the headphones, then you might need a bit of help with that as well. But you can probably hear a couple of other voices, because that's because I'm joined in this episode by Kate again. Hello, Kate.
Hi. Hi, listeners.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. Well, actually, I'm not that good. I've had a bit of a stressful day teaching.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything in particular?
No, not that I can say on here, no.
You don't really want to go into it here,
no,
do you?
No. But
if you've had a difficult day of teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hard job sometimes, teaching.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope that you're relaxing now, Kate.
I feel much better now.
Good, yeah. Good. And with us, too, is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, world.
And, well, actually, as a matter of fact, this is the first time that I've met Mark. So I think what I will do in a few moments is get to know Mark a little bit.
Sounds fun.
And that will be a genuine, an actual genuine conversation. What you will actually hear what actually happens when native speakers meet each other for the first time. It's going to be a real conversation, not sort of contrived in any way.
No.
Just a genuine. So we'll.
Absolutely.
I've kind of exchanged a few. We've exchanged a few.
Pleasantries.
We have.
Yeah.
But we haven't fully got to know each other yet. But that'll come in a moment.
One.
Ooh.
But what I was thinking. Actually, at the beginning of this episode, I think it's very important, actually, that we teach the listeners something. Because it's been a long time since I actually taught anything on this podcast. It feels like that. It feels like recently the episodes have just been me kind of talking a load of nonsense and just sort of whatever comes into my head has just gone into the microphone.
Which is nonsense, Luke, isn't it?
Is it?
Most of the time.
Call it anarchic.
I think it's anarchic,
yeah.
You could say. Yeah. Really? Do you think...
you just think nonsense?
You think that most of what...
Am I being kind?
Yeah.
Okay.
So most of what's in my head is nonsense, Kate? Is that... you really think that?
Yeah.
Okay. well, I thought that in this episode, because I've just been talking nonsense into the microphone recently... that I would actually teach something, that we would actually teach something right at the beginning. So what I did is, in preparation, I actually planned something for this one. I wrote down, just off the top of my head, some common expressions, idioms, phrasal verbs, that kind of thing. Just 12 common expressions. And what we're going to do for you now, listeners, for free, is actually teach them to you. Okay, so I think I'm going to go first. With my first one. So my first expression is in the nick of time.
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you use that sometimes?
I do, actually, yeah. I do.
What was it again, Kate?
What was in the nick of time.
In the nick of time. Mm. In the nick of time. So, for example, you might say, oh, it was, well, you wouldn't make that noise, obviously, at the beginning.
That's an important preface.
You don't have to go before you use this idiom. that's just the noise that I make when I'm trying to think of a good example, right? For example, you might say, we got onto the train just in the nick of time. It was close. We nearly missed the train. We nearly got trapped in the doors, in fact, but we managed to get on just in the nick of time.
You really like it.
Right? So if you do something just in the nick of time, what's that mean then?
It's easier to use than explain.
It is, isn't it? I suppose it's when you do something with just enough time left, you do it right at the last moment.
You nearly miss it. You nearly miss it, but you get like a top.
Yeah. You get there in the end, although you nearly missed it, right? So, for example, my example of the train is that you can imagine the train is about to leave, the doors are closing, but just at the last second,
exactly.
It makes that noise as well, you might have heard. Just at the last second, you managed to get into the train just before the doors closed. So I got onto the train just in the nick of time. You'll be able to read all these idioms, by the way, on the website, which, as you know, of course, is teacherluke.podomatic.com. I'm sure that website is burned into your brains from hearing it repeated so many times. So that was mine, in the nick of time. Mark, what have you got?
I have to end up doing something.
End up doing something, all right.
For example, I ended up becoming an English teacher. So perhaps I did many things before. I experimented with different jobs, or no jobs, perhaps. And then, in the end, final decision, I became an English teacher.
Right, so kind of like after playing around with various different things, the final result, the final situation that you found yourself in was that you were an English teacher. So you didn't necessarily plan the beginning to become an English teacher?
Could be an accident, even. Just circumstances... and the opportunity to do it, and so then I did it, and I'm happy with it. So in the end, that's what I became.
Okay.
I think we quite often say stuff like, "Oh, I wanted to be a doctor, but I ended up."
There could be a tone of regret.
That kind of like it wasn't what I really intended to do in the first place, but somehow the situation I found myself in at the end was. For example, as an English teacher, so I ended up being an English teacher. Not that that's the case for us, because of course we always had a burning ambition to become English language teachers.
It's ingrained.
It's the sort of expression you might use as well to describe what you did on a Friday night, for example. It's like, oh, we went to the pub, had a few drinks, then we went to this bar, and then we did some karaoke, and we ended up in a
gutter.
We ended up in a gutter.
Throwing up.
Sick.
Yeah.
Drunk. in a desperately wanton state. Mm. I ended up passing out in a gutter.
Mm. Certainly, yeah.
That would be good if you're British. I'm not sure your listeners would need to say that, because that's a typically British behaviour.
On a beach.
Yeah.
Falling asleep.
I ended up... reading poetry to myself.
Oh, I see, without the alcohol.
Yeah.
So if you like, okay. I started the evening by sampling some fine wines.
Sipping a sherry.
And finally I ended up reading poetry to a beautiful maiden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That's the real world, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Alright. So, Kate, what have you got?
Yeah. Every now and then...
Every now and then?
Yeah.
For example?
Every now and then, I fancy a Big Mac with fries and a milkshake.
Is that true?
No, this isn't true. This is the sentence that Luke has written down.
Yeah, I wrote that down. So that's not really Kate's sentence, but it's just my example.
Every now and then, I fancy a nice glass of red wine.
Mm. Mm. So basically, every now and then means sometimes, doesn't it?
Occasionally.
Occasionally, every now and then. In fact, I think the next expression on your list similar. Someone else has got. Oh, I've got an expression on my list which is once in a while, and it's basically the same thing as every now and then. So once in a while, for example, I like to eat McDonald's once in a while.
And that is true.
And it's true, yeah. It's true. Once in a while, I don't eat McDonald's like all the time. So that was once in a while, and every now and then, and they both mean sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What have you got next, Mark?
I have a good one actually. I have to bend over backwards.
Okay.
Mm.
Bend over backwards.
To bend over backwards.
Okay.
Of course, not in a physical sense because this is an idiom, but. Yeah. For example, the staff at the Holiday Inn really bent over backwards to make my wife and I feel comfortable. okay. Any guesses?
So, the staff at the Holiday Inn really bent over backwards to make my wife and I feel as comfortable as possible.
They did everything within their power. Yeah.
Right. So to bend over backwards is to make a lot of effort, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah. To help a person as much as possible, to go the complete distance,
yeah.
If you want to help a person solve a problem.
So, for example, you'd say something like... if you've got a chance, could you do this thing? Could you post this letter for me? Don't bend over backwards or anything. If you can't,
I suppose you could.
Does it mean you just you do what's in your job description?
No, it's more than that. Okay. If you do what's in your job description, you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
But it's to do more than you need to do.
Yeah.
To really put 100%, 110% effort in to help a person solve the problem or to have a good time. Mm. So the example with the holiday, inn, the hotel. Of course, if the staff are very friendly, that's good. But if they, you know, if they do more than their job description, if they really try to help you, they bend over backwards.
Yeah. So it's about helping, isn't it?
Basically.
It's like making a lot of effort
as
to help
as possible. Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. It's like Piccadilly Circus in here today.
Which is exactly where my school
that's
is.
An idiom.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
You work in Piccadilly Circus.
I do, yes. At the school, not the Ripley's Museum, which is
right.
Directly across.
So, is this like Piccadilly Circus? You're
this
the expert.
Just for a moment there, I could have been in Piccadilly Circus with the man coming in to change the rubbish.
I say it's like Piccadilly Circus, listeners, because that's an expression, it's kind of a joke that people say when it's very busy and there's lots of people coming and going. But you might not have realised that. You may have heard the noise of like a plastic bag, but the cleaner just came into the room and sort of walked in with his bag and took the rubbish out. And that actually happened in our episode, do you remember?
Yes.
The cleaner interrupted us in that one too.
Yes.
So we have Francis putting his head through the window, the cleaner coming in, it's like Piccadilly Circus around here. And ironically, that is actually where you work, Mark.
It is, indeed, So, which is very much like Piccadilly Circus.
Okay, so do you work hard at the school to help your students?
I tell you what, sometimes I bend over backwards to help them with their English.
I hope they appreciate that, Mark.
Of course, sometimes. Yeah. Most of the time.
do they ever buy you presents at the end of a course?
You know, it depends on how many of them are leaving because, you know, their new students start every week. But if you get a really, you know, good group that sort of click together and they like you, you like them, then it can happen.
Yeah.
Happened in Korea, in Australia once when I had loads of Korean students. Yeah, but they all bought me loads of presents, this Korean class.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just little things like bookmarks or
little key rings
with Brazilian Havanas, whatever they're called. Can I use a brand name?
Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
I mean, maybe. What are they? How do you pronounce the name of that flip-flop company?
I just tried to say it, but sort of very quietly, just in case if it's wrong. I don't know. It's something like Havanas or
Havanas or something.
Havanas, something
I
like
feel a bit embarrassed that I don't know how to pronounce that famous brand name of beach sandal or flip-flop.
At least we can't get into trouble. Just in case.
We can't.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some of the listeners could tell you. Could
Havaianas or Havanas?
We need help.
Have bananas? I don't know. Yeah. But I suppose.
That is anyway, yeah.
If I was Australian, I'd feel worse about that because they wear them a lot more than we do.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I don't own a pair.
Neither do I.
That's it.
Okay.
I'd like to have a pair. Of those.
They're nice.
Yes. Lots of teachers get given them.
I think they're quality. They're quality sandals.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. They last a long time. My girlfriend has a pair. She just doesn't wear anything else when she's
really?
On the beach. Loves them.
She doesn't wear anything
just
else.
Those?
Well, okay. Well, clearly you're reading between the lines there. And whatever else she may feel necessary to wear, but on her feet.
Right.
Upon her feet, she will only wear those.
I see. Sorry, it's my perverted imagination. Okay, so what's the next idiom that you've got on the list? Case.
I've got to sleep on it.
Sleep on it?
To sleep on it.
Sleep on what?
To sleep on it.
Oh, it.
Yeah, always it. For example, I can't decide if I should accept the job offer. They pay more, but I have to move to a different town.
I think, you know, Kate, I think it's getting late.
Yeah.
I think you should go to bed, sleep on it, make the decision in the morning.
Okay, yeah. I won't decide now. I'll decide tomorrow.
After you have slept on it.
Yeah, I'll sleep on it.
Okay, so to sleep on it, it thing is a decision that you have to make.
Like a problem, maybe, decision or a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you sleep on it, it's like you have a difficult decision to make or a problem to deal with, and you can't do it now, so you decide that you will go to bed and subconsciously think about it in your sleep.
Mm. It is an unusual expression, isn't it?
Because but it's good.
Obviously, when you are asleep, you're probably not thinking about the problem. At least me, personally, I don't have this discussion in my head.
And you're not physically sleeping on the problem.
No,
it's not.
You're
like
sleeping.
You're just
on
giving.
The sheet,
you're giving yourself extra time. I suppose, simply.
It's not like you're typing out the problem on a piece of paper, printing it, and then laying it down on the mattress.
Oh, under your head, or under the pillow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's literally sleeping on it.
Yeah.
No, it just means that you're sort of not making the decision, you're going to bed, and then in the morning, hopefully, you'll have a clearer mind in order to make the decision.
I have to say, I think I use this probably every day.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh.
Lots of decisions.
Yeah,
you're just not happy making quick decisions.
No. And I think it really helps to sleep on it. Definitely.
What sort of decisions do you think most people use?
Well, at the moment I'm trying to decide whether to go to Florence or Madrid.
Oh, what a difficult what a horrible decision.
Is this
a modern life?
Is this for a holiday or is this for work?
No, holiday. And I'm going with a friend, and we can't decide. And I said to her, "Well, let's sleep on it."
Okay. What you're going
to together?
Is it a male friend or
let's just...
It's a female friend.
Okay. So you said, "Let's sleep on it."
Yeah.
Oh. Did you?
Well, actually, she did come and stay with me, and she did sleep in my bed.
What?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, listeners? Did you actually hear that? Wait a minute, Kate. Wait a minute. Are you saying that you slept with one of your female friends in the same bed?
I did, yeah.
So this is no longer an expression. This is just something you did.
This is not...
You literally did this.
Forget the idioms. Forget the language. Forget English. You slept with your best friends?
I did, yeah. And she's staying tonight as well.
What? Okay, fine. And I never realised, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you have other decisions you need to sleep on? Is that work?
Okay, it's quite normal for sort of girls to sleep with their female friends sometimes, isn't it?
Well, you'd like to think so.
It actually is, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Girls sleep together sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, come over to my house. Okay, you know, oh, we'll. I don't know
well,
what girls do.
Well, it's not like that.
Oh, you know.
let's empty the pillowcases.
Let's sleep together and
jump around
like you do when you're a kid.
Sure.
It's the same thing. Men don't do that.
No.
Men are like, hey, buddy, hey, you want to come over and play a bit of PlayStation, drink a few beers, sleep in the same bed? Whoa.
Yeah,
men it's okay. Don't do it's that. Like head to toe, head one end, toes. But then there's still the problem that you have.
The private part still
big.
The middle
part still big. It just doesn't solve it, does it?
Well, the reason my friend Caroline is staying with me tonight, she's homeless at the moment. She's had to move out of her flat.
Okay.
And she's got a new flat, but not for a while. And she's staying with her parents.
Yeah.
So she needs. If she comes to London, she has
so
to.
So she. So she's sleeping with you tonight.
She is.
And tomorrow.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Sleep on it.
See if you. So you're not sure whether you're going to let her stay with
you.
Oh
no! I'm not sure if she needs to.
Okay.
She's welcome anytime. I've only got one bed. That's the problem.
Right. But you don't mind, you know, letting a friend sleep in your bed if
I don't mind.
That's very generous of you, Kate.
I actually almost feel bad for making fun of it now.
Me too. Yeah.
She's homeless. Okay.
Well, she's not actually homeless. She's
just without a home at the moment. She's not like,
she's in transition.
She doesn't live in a cardboard box.
She's not sort of begging and smelling of urine or anything. Not yet, anyway. Yes. Okay. Listeners, I think you probably get the idea of sleeping on it. I hope so. If you don't, just Google it.
We may have confused the answer at this point.
Okay, is it my turn? Yeah. Your turn, Mark.
I think it's... I don't know.
It's your turn.
It's my turn, all right. Mine is by the skin of my teeth. By the skin of my teeth, or by the skin of one's teeth. For example, I got into university by the skin of my teeth.
Did you, Luke? So, really?
Well, yeah, I did actually.
Did you
yeah.
do well in your exams, or did you do not
well
as well as you wanted?
When after I got into university, at university I did okay, but it was difficult for me to get into university because I didn't get good results in my exams.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I got like, what did I get? Well, fairly poor results, but they were just good enough. So the difference between me getting into university and me not getting in was very, very thin, you know, slim difference. So,
is this similar to the nick of time idiom? Yeah. Only not about time, but about maybe here your exam results.
Yeah.
So it was just good enough.
Yeah.
And with the nick of time, you were just quick enough.
Yeah. So by the skin of, if you do something by the skin of your teeth, I mean, obviously your teeth don't have skin, or if they do, it's very, very, very thin. It's so thin that you can't see it, touch it, or measure it.
That could be why.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you do have skin in
the morning. It works better than I got in by the enamel of my teeth.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same sound, does it, really?
Yeah, it's too technical sounding or something. But I got into university by the skin of my teeth. So the idea is that your teeth have a very thin skin on them. Obviously, your teeth don't have skin. It's ridiculous. It's another one of those ridiculous English expressions that we use a lot. We do use this expression a lot.
Definitely.
So, skin on your teeth is considered to be very, very, very thin. So, if you get in by the skin of your teeth, it's like the difference between getting in and not getting in is as thin as the skin on your teeth.
Okay.
What a ridiculous expression.
Yeah.
Luke, you know how Mark and I know each other?
You studied together.
Yeah, right? And I think I passed the exam that we did, or the teaching part.
Which part?
The teaching part.
Two.
Part two. Part two.
Well, that's for, yeah.
Uh-huh. By the skin of my teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I almost didn't pass it.
I feel the same about my exam.
Oh.
Because I had problems preparing for the exam. I hate exams.
Yes.
I do badly. I freeze. And I have all these problems running in my head. And then I think, I don't know, but I have a feeling that on the day of the exam, I passed just by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
Just by the skin of my teeth.
Did you get your results, by the way?
Yes.
Did you get your... I know you passed, both of you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you actually...
Hated better than me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you get?
I just passed everything.
Pass.
And you got merits and distinctions and stuff?
No. I didn't pass the exam by the skin of my teeth.
Okay.
I passed it.
Well, you did a good. You did well.
I got a very good mark. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you get?
I got.
Can you don't want to?
I got a distinction.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done.
Exactly. Very, very good.
Oh my
Thank
god.
You. Did
that's,
you know that?
No, I didn't know that. No, that's really impressive.
It is, because that exam is a nightmare.
Yeah, I think. It's a horrible course. We're talking, by the way, about a particular teaching course, which we've all taken. I did it 6 years ago. It's very hard. It's really
hard. It's harder now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it gets... Yeah, it's much, much harder than it was 6 years
ago. Right, sure, okay.
Yeah, it's almost, like, double the work now.
Yeah, right, yeah. and it's a really hard exam. I passed by the skin of my teeth, like I
did. Did you? Really?
Well, I failed one thing that had to be retaken.
Okay.
But I think the rest of it was a fairly comfortable pass. But that part I got through by the skin of my teeth. But to get a distinction is really outstanding.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Well,
it's really good.
But that was the written exam, which isn't really very
good. All the bullet points.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. But it was. It was because it's not really connected with teaching, you know.
What?
The exam, the written exam.
Yes, it is, because you have to analyse bits of language.
Yeah.
And you have to comment on how you would teach
that
language.
But at the same time, you spend all of your time preparing for it. By having to remember the type of information you need to include in the
answer.
Just an academic
exercise.
For all these points. Exactly, it's an exercise. Can you remember
to
make a point about this? But you also get more points, bonus points, if you remember to write something extra here or develop it in some way. And there's no indication in the question that that's what you need to do. You just need to be aware when you sit down that it's more than the knowledge that you have about teaching and about English.
So what, are you just jumping through hoops, as it were?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
So it's like the Cambridge examiners, they just set up all these hoops, like you're in the circus or something, and you've just got to try and jump through those hoops.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, creating your own way of jumping, they just say, jump through this, and you jump through
it. Yeah, I felt like a dolphin.
Yeah.
You do. If you don't jump through this hoop, you fail. You may have something intelligent to say, something practical, something good.
Yeah.
But if it's outside this hoop, which we have here, then it'll be a fail.
Yeah. Did you usually say hoop in that?
It depends. It was any oop sound, pretty much.
Really?
Really?
You have to jump through this hoop. Really?
Hoop. Loop.
So let's see. Let's just take that as an example, all right? So,
what about if you...
If you had to, say, get walk under a very low doorway, what would you do?
I would have to stoop.
You'd have to stoop.
Not stoop.
I can, of course, do the normal sounding stoop. I would have to stoop. But I think it sounds much better with the emphasis.
Stoop!
Stoop. Well, you make me sound like an old man.
Stoop.
And I'm clearly not an old man, but yeah, I would have to stoop.
Stoop. So it's the bit at the end.
I like that. It's the p has to certainly come out.
Yeah. Stoop.
Stoop.
Okay. What do you do?
Soup. Yeah. Would you like some soup?
Can I just mention? Can I just mention bullet points?
Yes.
Go on.
In our exam, we had to write a lot. We had to basically write the whole thing using bullet points.
What are bullet points?
They're, you know, those dots that you get if you're writing like a Word document and you're writing a list.
But you're writing a list.
Yeah, you're writing a list and you begin every list. You can begin it with a number or you can begin it with...
Just a black dot.
A black dot.
Or a little square or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a letter or something to say that this is a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a bullet point. And we had to use a lot of these. And this is when Mark and I started talking like this.
Did indeed.
Rishi, you were like, shoot, I only got two more bullet points left.
Well, because we had to just include an awful lot of bullet points. And the more bullet points we got, the more points we got.
You did.
Wasn't that right?
If you sit there and you don't take the bullet points, you're going to suffer.
you got to load up your... I don't know what it is.
You're going to fail if you don't use the bullet points.
How many bullet points you're allowed to use?
As many as you can.
As many as you can. As many as you can carry into that exam hall.
You see, you just load up your whatever it is you're using. I was going to say revolver, but then I realized that wouldn't work because you can't really write with a revolver. So you...
Well, we could take it. We took our guns into the exam.
There was lots of shooting. It was just chaos in there. All the way down.
Yeah?
Lots of distinctions for everyone.
That's why I got a distinction.
Because you shot the examiner right between the eyes.
No, it's because I shot the exam paper with lots of bullets.
That's why I just passed by the skin of my teeth, because I became a pacifist halfway through. I just stopped believing in violence. Put my gun down, started writing sentences and paragraphs.
You mean you became Canadian?
I became Canadian, pretty much. I became a Democrat.
Well, that's just swear.
Okay.
Right, moving on.
Your turn, Mark.
Right, sure. Okay. Oh, to bite off more than you can chew.
Bite off more than you can chew. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like...
This... Go on.
I was going to say, I feel like in maybe attempting to both introduce you, Mark, into this episode and teach 12 if natural expressions, that in this particular episode I've bitten off more than I can chew.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like we should have got to know you before we started teaching, because the listeners are going, this is great, now I'm learning idioms, but who is Mark? Well, who is this guy?
All will be revealed.
Yeah, you're just going to have to wait, listeners. You're going to have to wait.
It's really not that exciting.
Okay. Who is the secret, this mysterious new guest? You have to find out later, children. I don't know why I call them children. Why not?
To bite off more than you can chew. So, for example, I don't know why I agreed to do this job. I think I've bitten off more than I can chew.
Mm. Yeah.
So, my job is clearly very, very difficult.
Mm. Let's say your job was to round up all of the
cattle,
criminal gangs, okay, and cattle,
okay,
from the town.
Right.
And like, you've been made the sheriff of the local town,
right,
and it's your job to like round up all the criminals and all the cattle which have got loose.
Is that my job every day?
Yeah, that's it. You're responsible for the controlling crime in that
town. In the whole state.
In the whole state of Missouri.
Every goddamn
criminal. That sounds like a lot. I don't think I could do that. I could do the crime. Give me the criminals.
Yeah.
That's my job. I'll do that. But if you give me the cattle,
too much.
That's too much. And I think then I will have bitten off more than I could chew.
Mm.
Okay.
With that, so the idea, I suppose, is it works well as a metaphor, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah.
You have a big cake, piece of pie,
steak, maybe.
Steak, anything, whatever you like, or Big Mac if we're at McDonald's again.
If you're Luke.
If you're Luke, fine. And let's say you could, you know, you're reasonably hungry. You're reasonably hungry. You have your first Big Mac.
Yeah.
It's fine, no problem. You have the fries, no problem at all. Mm. The drink. Okay, no problem. You want another meal, so you get your second Big Mac, but, you know, you start to eat it, and it becomes too much. So I think maybe here you've bitten off more than you can chew. It's just too much.
Okay. So it's like when you agree to... It's not usually about food, but if you take
sure.
it literally...
As a metaphor, that's what I'm... Yeah. As a metaphor, yeah, certainly. But it's not used that way.
Yeah. So it's when you agree to do something, and then later on you realise, oh my God, I can't do the thing that I agreed to do.
Yeah.
It's too much work.
Yeah, it's usually responsibilities, duties, things like that, and you agree, and then maybe later you realise, that's too much.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, if your friend says to you, hey, Kate... I'm going away for a month. Can you just look after my 9 Dalmatians while I'm gone? And then you kind of go, yeah, sure. And then you realise that looking after 9 Dalmatians for a month is a full-time job. And then you're like, oh, God, I think I've bitten off more than I can chew with this Dalmatians job.
Mm.
Then what am I going to do? Mm. Help!
I thought you were going with 9 Dalmatians was fine, and then you understood there were 101.
Yeah, well,
there and then.
I don't know why I picked 9, but yeah. I mean 101 Dalmatians, that would be ridiculous. But you'd be there. You know, you'd say, sorry, did you say 9? I thought it was 9. No, it's 101. Oh, no. And then you're there in a huge house with 101 Dalmatians.
It's too late. You can't.
And then you're there, oh, help Luke, help Mark, Luke, yeah. Help me. I've bitten off more than I can chew with this Dalmatians job. Can you come and help me? And we'll be like, no, sorry, no, we're far too busy recording this podcast.
Well, but what you could do then, it wouldn't really be a problem, because then you could just turn them all into coats.
Yeah.
Oh. Just skin them and
yeah. Make a big coat.
Mm. That's a bit dark.
I think.
Yeah. That's.
I can't believe you said that.
That's uncomfortable, isn't it? I'm not sure.
I'm disappointed. Yeah. I thought you were an animal lover.
Oh, that's just brought the tone down.
I can't believe you suggested killing and skinning all of those lovely dogs.
Think how beautiful they are.
As dogs, yes.
It would make
they
a really
are.
Good
yeah.
coat.
Oh, okay.
But what about the dogs? What about the rest of the dog?
There are too many dogs in the world.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Kill them all. Well, no, kill 101 of them. Just the black and white Dalmatian ones.
Yeah, exactly. In the house, in the one house.
Yeah.
They're all in the same house.
Cruella de Vil had the right idea, didn't she?
Exactly.
Yeah.
right.
Okay, so if you bite off more than you can chew, you take on too much responsibility, and you realise that later on, I can't deal with all this responsibility, I've bitten off more than I can chew.
Well, I think Absolutely. We have definitely bitten off more than we can chew
with
here.
With this episode, time is just flying forwards
it
as
is,
usual.
It is,
Okay, right. Kate, I think you're next.
Okay.
This is the last one, I think.
Really?
This is number. Okay. This is number 12.
Really?
Yeah.
I seem to have two more.
Oh, have you got two more?
I have one more. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that was your way of subtly suggesting we move on.
No, yeah. I think we should keep going and finish okay. mediums. Go
to,
on.
To get the ball rolling. To get the ball rolling.
The bull or the ball?
The ball.
Oh, right. Ball like football.
Yeah. To get the ball rolling. Simon. Who's Simon?
I don't know, it's just a Simon. Name. It's just a person.
Simon, would you like to get the ball rolling by telling us about the conference you attended last week?
Are you in a business meeting, Kate?
I am.
So
yes.
This could be, for example, in a business meeting when the boss who's yeah. chairing the meeting says, okay, welcome to the meeting. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Perhaps, Simon, you could get the ball rolling by just telling us a little bit about the conference that you went to last week. And Simon goes, yeah, well, I went to a conference and, last week, and it was very interesting. They talked about cat technology. It was fascinating. What did they say about the cat technology? Oh, just that it was related to cats and it was technology.
They actually said that it was a Frenchman invented a new wind turbine powered by cats.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay. So that's just an example there of how the expression to get the ball rolling might be used. So it just means, what does it mean then, really?
Start things off.
Get started.
Get the meeting started. We have a number of things to talk about. Let's start with you.
Yeah, okay. So you can get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Just get the meeting started.
Yeah.
It's weird that the meeting is a ball. And
well,
it has to be rolling.
Square doesn't roll. Oh, I see. Okay. I was going to say that square doesn't really roll very easily.
But the rolling thing is the... Yeah. That's what...
Think of other objects we could use.
When a conversation is going, it's kind of rolling, isn't it? It's sort of got momentum. Mm. So ball.
And this is definitely going downhill.
In a minute, we're going to just crash into a car or something.
And that's, I think, business English really, they use a lot of idioms like that, don't they?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you use that in like your everyday conversation?
I might do. I might. Sometimes, but I think I might use it ironically.
Yeah, maybe just to let's pretend this is a business meeting.
Oh, ha ha ha! I'm gonna get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Or even if it was a real business meeting, I'd be tempted to start using lots of cliched expressions just because I wanted to
send
up the whole idea of the fact that it was a meeting. Is that too post-ironic?
I was going to say post-modern ironic. I don't know really what that is. It's a long time since I've used the word post-modern. So yeah. Can't really use that
it's
anymore.
Just confusing.
Yes.
That's what it is.
So businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Business meeting situation.
Okay. All right. So I've used all my idioms in the nick of time, by the skin of my teeth. Oh, no, I've got one more. So to know something like the back of your hand. So I know this town like the back of my hand. So that means that if you know something really, really well, you know it really, really well. Like, for example, you know exactly how to find everything in your local town, you know all the streets and everything, and you know where everything is. You could say that you know it like the back of your hand. The back of your hand is which part of the hand?
It's the back.
The back part.
Oh, right.
It's not the front, the other side.
But for me, the front and the back of a hand are like...
But these are your fingers.
Yeah, okay.
Specific. I don't know, I always assumed it was talking about the palm, and then this part here.
Yeah, this is the...
No, but this is the palm, which is the front.
Yeah.
For the benefit of listeners, you can't pick up on all this sort of all these gestures.
Sure.
The palm is the the bit that you use to hold things like if you're holding a glass of beer,
it would
be in the palm of your hand.
It would be touching the glass
when,
of beer.
Yeah. When you do a high five, then you slap the palms of your hands together.
That was Luke doing a high five with himself.
Yeah, that wasn't even a real high five.
I'm British, I can't do high fives.
Do high five, I'll high five.
Yeah, it's still not right.
That wasn't good, was it? That was two British people doing a high five.
British white people, middle class British white people, cannot high five correctly. They always get it slightly wrong.
Okay, well if you clap, we can clap, we're British. If you clap, that's the two palms of your hands meeting.
So the other side of the palm, that's the back of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, for example, to, I don't know, slap someone in the face dismissively, you would do it with the back of your hand, right?
To challenge them to a duel with a...
You do that with a glove.
You do it with a glove. But do you do it with the palm of the glove, or do you do it with the back of the glove?
I think you do it in a backhand kind of way.
It would be the back of the glove.
How often do you challenge people to a duel, Mark?
Today?
Really?
Just today and twice. Today. Usually in a given week. Depends.
Okay.
7 or 8
Luke?
Times.
How often do I challenge people to a duel? To be honest, I've never actually challenged someone to a duel in the real world, but I do it regularly when I'm playing computer games.
I think I do it every now and then.
You do it every now and then?
Really? In what way do you actually challenge someone to a duel?
If we're having an argument and I just can't be bothered to, you know, keep arguing words, I say, I challenge you to a duel.
And then you say, I'll meet you
pistols
at...
Swords. Okay.
Swords.
Yeah.
At dawn,
yeah.
In the churchyard or something?
Normally on the heath.
On the heath?
Well, that's dramatic.
At dawn with swords. Daggers, maybe.
No, swords. Daggers wouldn't work.
And clearly you always win.
Well, I'm still alive, so...
I hope that my listeners know what a duel is. That's where two people have a fight to the death in a sort of organised way. Normally they stand back to back, and then they walk 10 paces.
Yeah, but also in the Old West as well.
In
the Old West as well, yeah.
Yeah.
You want another like John Wayne, I suppose. If John Wayne's not having a very good day, I'm not doing the John Wayne voice. That would be an insult to John Wayne. But he may say, if he's feeling British for the day, he may say, I don't like the cut of your jib, or what you're saying, and let's go outside and let's shoot each other.
So if it was in the Wild West, it would be maybe a couple of cowboys sitting in a bar. How would it happen? In a saloon, there'd be one cowboy at the bar, another cowboy would ching 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 walk into the saloon.
I'm thinking of a card game, maybe a game of poker, and one cowboy discovers the other cowboy is cheating.
You're cheating? You low-down varmint, you're cheating on me!
Exactly. And they go outside, and usually at noon.
Yeah.
High noon. Yes. Which is the bit before high tea, I believe.
Yeah.
So high noon. And then,
high noon!
And then, for some inexplicable reason, there's no countdown, there's nothing. They just wait for one of them to take the gun, which seems a bit unfair, because you'd think, I want to be the first to take my gun and shoot.
It's kind of like, who's going to be the fastest cowboy in the West? It's like, if you can pull your gun... I don't know why they do that.
If it doesn't work, you die.
Mm.
You would just be the first, though, wouldn't you?
You want to be the first, because you want to be... You don't want to take the chance.
I think it's all about being macho.
You think so?
Show how brave you are.
You could even take time to take the first shot through the fella's hat.
So shoot his hat off. And he'd be like, oh, where's my hand gone? And then while he's thinking, another one, take the gun out of his hand. Oh, where's my gun gone?
And then the belt buckle.
Belt the trousers. Where's my trousers gone?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Shoot me now. I'm too embarrassed.
Excuse me. You wouldn't talk about trousers now, would you?
Pants.
Thank you.
Trousers. You're like, where are my trousers going? I'm like, what do you mean trousers? Pants. Where are my pants?
Okay. Anyway, that's a duel, isn't it?
So
that's a challenge, and it can be to the death.
Yes, exactly, that's a duel. So we were talking about the expression to know it like the back of your hand, were we not?
We were indeed.
So you could say, I know this town like the back of my hand.
Mm.
You know, excuse me, do you know where the bank is? Well, shoot, I've been living here 67 years. I know this town like the back of my... Yes, but do you know where the bank is? You're asking me where the bank is? Yeah, of course I know where the bank is. That kind of thing. But I've never really understood that expression, because I don't really know the back of my hand that well.
I was about to say, if somebody showed a picture of a number of hands, one of them was mine, I would probably have trouble identifying my hand. My fingers are rather short compared to a lot of people's fingers.
Yeah,
so that would be it.
Can I say something here?
Go on.
I think this is because you are both men.
That we have short fingers.
Women can identify the back of their hand.
I would definitely, definitely, without a doubt, be able to identify of my hand.
I think I could actually identify the back of my hand too. What is it about your hand? You don't look at the back of your hand enough, Mark.
I don't spend enough time.
Have you got that?
You
know how some people have, and they can't recognise faces.
Who said that?
Some people have a condition where it's called face blindness.
So I have hand blindness.
You have hand blindness.
But only for your own hand. So what do you see?
The back of the hand, because I could probably recognise other parts of my arm.
But when you look at your fingers. Hand, what do you see? Just like an ambient blob, just the kind of
I've generally noticed that other people also have five fingers, or four fingers and a thumb, I should say. And certainly other men have share the characteristics of maybe some hair.
Yeah.
Some hair there. I have nails. Some lines, some wrinkles.
Knuckles.
On the knuckles. So
actually, for me, especially my right hand, can you see this?
It's
a scar. Can you see it?
I can see your scar,
Is that from a duel?
In fact, yes. It's a duel. I challenged my cat to a duel when I was about 9.
Yes.
And it scratched me. And I've got a scar there.
Really?
What did you do to the cat?
I killed it.
Okay.
Got a nice scarf now.
So the cat got you first, but it didn't kill you.
No,
you were like, you finished it off.
Well, it was using...
Did it disarm you? Because it got you in the right hand.
Well, it was using its claws, and I was using a gun. So it scratched me on the right hand.
The gun hand? Did you drop the gun?
The gun hand. I had another gun in a holster.
That doesn't sound fair.
And
the cat does have two paws.
Well, cats have 9 lives.
Also,
so you had to kill it 9 times. Did you stamp on it 9 times? Is that what you did? You're a terrible cat.
Well,
I can't believe you did that.
I killed it and then it was okay. It came back to life and then it just died in a bush.
Nice. What a lovely story.
His name was Thomas.
Really?
Ginger cat.
Okay.
Did you know that all ginger cats are male?
What?
Did you know?
All ginger cats are
all
male.
All ginger cats are male.
Now that's not an idiom.
Ginger
isn't
Tom.
That's just a lie.
It's a fact. It is a fact.
All ginger cats are male. Okay.
Yes. Ginger Toms.
Okay.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
That's really weird.
So, I mean, genetically, how does that come about? How does that happen?
We're going to have to get into genetics.
No, let's not.
Well,
that's
we're going to have to get into... another topic of conversation that is a favourite of mine is ginger.
Okay.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah.
I think that we should devote a podcast to the subject of being ginger. So we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Talking about ginger biscuits.
Ginger hair.
As well.
And ginger biscuits. Ginger we could biscuits. Just deal with everything
ginger.
Related to gingerness.
Yeah. Another time, listeners.
Gingosity will be covered. We'll go through the ginger bet.
Yeah.
That's like the alphabet.
It's too important.
We've tempted the listeners by that little nugget of information.
Yes.
That little piece of information there about ginger tomcats,
and just
male cats,
and the whole subject with gingers in general. Okay, right. So I know this town like the back of my hand. Mark.
Fine. I have my final idiom. To work something out.
Yeah.
The example, actually, I think there are 2 examples here. We're having a few teething problems with the new computer system, but we can work it out. I'm sure it'll be fine by the time the new office opens.
Yeah.
The second one here says, I had no mobile reception, so I had to... Well, actually, it says work, but that's just the typing, I think. I had no mobile reception, so I had to work out the route myself using a map. Okay, I think the first one with the computers is quite good. So you get a new computer system... when you set it up, there are some small problems at the beginning, but we can work it out. We can solve these small problems, and in the end, everything will work okay.
Yeah.
I think it's probably good.
So it's like the Beatles song, We Can Work It Out.
We can work it out.
Indeed. Well, how does that go? What are the lyrics to that song?
We can work it out. We can work it out.
Yeah.
Do you want us to go on?
Yeah, well, I can't.
Life is very short.
And there's a cry.
Oh.
It's a cry.
There's no time.
No, there's no time
for fussing and fighting,
my friend.
I've always thought that it's a crime. So I shall ask you once again. Try to see you my way. Yeah. I prefer the Stevie Wonder version of that. Because there's a guy that goes, hey, every bar. He goes, try to see it my way. Hey! Be alright. Hey! We can work it out. Hey! We can work it out. Hey!
Yeah.
You should listen to it, listeners.
Good.
Stevie Wonder, We Can Work It Out. Listen.
Yeah.
Hey!
Sounds good. Although,
I have to listen to that now, so I have to leave. I have to go, I have to get internet connection and download that song immediately.
It was McCartney, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was both of them who did that. McCartney came up with the We Can Work It Out section, and Lennon did the Life Is Very Short and We're All Going to Die section.
But it's McCartney singing We Can Work It Out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love
so
him.
We can solve the problem, we can work it out, we can fix the problem. And the other one.
So, also, in fact, here, I think here we're talking about the computer. You've got a practical problem, some problems, you can solve these problems, fix these problems, you work it out. But I think in the Beatles song, they're talking about the relationship, aren't they?
Yeah.
So problems in a relationship between people, if you talk about it, you discuss these problems, then these problems can disappear, you can work it out.
Yeah, you can solve the issues, problems. Yeah. Okay, but you got another use of work it out.
I did, yes. I had no mobile reception, so I had to work out the route myself using a map. So I had no reception, so my phone, my phone could not tell me where to go, where I needed to go, the roads I needed to take. So I had to take a map, and I had to decide which road to take, where to turn, where to go. Mm. So I had to work out the route myself. Mm.
So it's like, if there's something you don't know, you kind of work it out by sort of studying it and trying to understand it, and then after you understand it, you have worked it out. So to work something out is to like understand something that you didn't understand
before. Like a maths problem as well. So if you have a maths problem, and sometimes it can take a long time if it's a difficult equation. Mm-hmm. So you try and you fail, and you do it again and again. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, you have your answer, you have your solution. Mm-hmm. You work it out.
Or maybe you read an English word that you don't know, and you see if you can work it out just from the context.
Yeah. Yes, that's a
good one for our listeners.
Good job.
Yeah.
Who got the distinction in a Delta then, eh? Working out from context.
Don't use the dictionary, just look at what comes before and after.
Look at the grammar around
guess.
That.
Just guess. Don't ask me.
What's the part of speech, Kate, eh? That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Although this was for the teaching bit, and I passed that by the skin of my teeth.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So final idiom of the day.
Okay. To get stuck in there.
Get stuck in there. Don't hang about. Just get stuck in
don't
there.
Don't worry about it. Just get stuck in there.
Get stuck right in there.
I can't really.
Do you have an example?
No, that was the example.
I think it's.
There's no example. There is. Yeah, look.
Don't worry about it. Just get stuck in there. Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Just get stuck in there. But don't read that example. Get stuck in there. It's like just get involved. Go for it.
Don't worry about it too much.
Don't worry about it. Just
try.
Just try and get involved. Mm. I think. So, for example, if let's say your friend wants to chat up an attractive girl that he's seen in the bar, but he's scared, you would say to him, God, don't worry about it, mate, just get stuck in there, go for it. So just get involved in the situation.
It's a little vulgar, but yes, I suppose.
I don't mean it literally.
Don't get stuck, whatever you do.
other examples you might say that to your son or daughter, your son who's gone to a party.
Oh, right.
The other children are playing games.
I was going to use a different example, actually. Well, just away from the party and the whole sort of social acceptance thing, I was going to go with the football. You know,
yeah.
Parents or fathers especially who watch their children play football, or even just a football match that you watch in a stadium, and you shout at the players, get stuck in there. So maybe if the player you think isn't trying enough, and you can shout at him, get stuck in there,
go
work
on,
harder.
Go on, Rooney, get stuck in there, mate, son. Exactly. Rooney, man.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Okay, so to get stuck in there, like, get involved, don't be shy, don't hold back, just go for it, get stuck in.
Do you use that a lot? Get stuck in there.
I think for some reason it works in this sort of accent, you know?
Well,
get stuck in there, mate.
To be honest, I...
Sounds like a cockney who spent time in Australia.
Get stuck in there, mate. Yeah, just go to Australia, mate. Yeah. It's all right. It's, yeah, you lose, your accent gets a bit confused, but, you know, don't worry about it.
I think definitely that London, that East London accent, it definitely works. It's hard to describe. The accent's very sort of...
Would it work in a northern accent?
Right, get stuck in there. Go on, son, get stuck in there, man.
Get stuck in there.
That works.
Yeah, get stuck in with a strong K, but it works. You can use it. Yeah.
What about Manchester? Yeah, right. So I just like got stuck in there a lot. Get stuck in there.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Go on, lad.
Get stuck in there.
Definitely from north. Definitely works from north.
Get stuck in with whippets.
But to be honest, I made some videos for this podcast a while ago where I interviewed people in the street and asked them about London. And in one of the interviews, I said, what do you think of London, to this girl, this quite posh girl? And she said, oh, well, London can be quite overwhelming, but it's not too difficult once you get stuck in there.
Oh, that's true, a bit of that spirit, sort of thing.
Meaning, once you get involved and you sort of go into London and kind of get involved in doing things in London, it's not so frightening after it.
Forget what you were worried about.
Yeah. Just cast off your reservations and your doubts. just
get stuck in.
Throw yourself into it. Into the
one
situation.
Will find things surely far more manageable once one does that.
Yeah.
Just get stuck in there.
Just
throw off those shackles.
Throw yourself in wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Would we be able to finish in about 5 minutes?
Yes, I think so. Do you have to go and see Hamlet again?
Not Hamlet this time. Actually, Hamlet is a Danish. He's Danish.
My name's not Ashley. Stop calling me Ashley.
Yeah, you remember last time, listeners, I said I'm going to see the Dane because Hamlet's Danish. This time I'm seeing a Swede.
Mm-hmm. What kind of Swede?
A Swedish girl. She's my friend called Steffi.
Yeah.
Is she staying at your place tonight?
I'm going to Steffi right now, actually. Go on.
No, she's not. Caroline's staying at my place, but Steffi, I'm just meeting her for a drink.
Okay.
I'm meant to be meeting her at 7.
So far. Night is young.
Okay, well, I think we'll probably wrap it up there then. Well, I suppose after offering the golden chalice at the end of this rainbow, this podcast, that we would get to know Mark.
Right.
Perhaps we should quickly do that and then we can go.
Yeah.
So, alright, so Mark, hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
strange way to get to know a person is to interview them on the podcast in this way, but nevertheless, so how do you know Kate?
I know Kate because we recently finished a course together, the course we've been talking about for the teacher qualification course.
Difficult teacher qualification.
Difficult one.
D for difficult.
D for difficult.
Delta.
Diploma in English language teaching to us. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's say exactly what the thing is. It's a diploma, a higher diploma in teaching English to adults. And it's a very difficult qualification. Well done, for passing.
Thanks. It was difficult, but you know what? There were times, I think, towards the end where... This is going to be easy. No, it was just a relief to get it all done. When we met on the course, and then we started speaking
in the
strange accents.
Spoke in accents, basically.
Basically, yes. Pretty much the cowboy accent most of the time was a favourite.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how we know each other, and then she invited me here very kindly.
Okay. And actually, I think you invited Mark in because he can do accents.
But that's not true.
Okay. I think it's true.
Yes.
Because he's an English teacher, and he's an English teacher who likes to talk in accents.
Yes.
But we haven't actually done really much on accents in this episode, so I don't know what we're going to do about that. Maybe you can come back another time. We'll
that sounds nice.
Do accents in a more organised way.
Sure. That sounds probably
a
good
idea.
Do you want
to give us a bit of the old cowboy accent?
Well, I think we've already established that none of us are particularly gifted in this area, but it is a lot of fun.
It sure is.
You just get to lengthen the sound of your vowels there, and it's a lot of fun.
You get to fantasize when you're some kind of...
Especially if you use your voice like this, and then they don't know where you're from anymore. You certainly sound like an old man who's lost all his teeth.
Exactly, that's the kind of thing I'd like to go for.
And surely your name becomes Billy Bob or Pat.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob.
He's an actor.
He is an actor, and he speaks exactly like that.
He does. He can be.
It's uncanny.
Yeah.
Do you think he speaks like that? Because his name's Billy Bob.
I think he feels obliged to speak like that because of his name.
He would, wouldn't you?
When he was a little babby.
Little babby.
A babby, what's a babby?
Hello, little babby.
A little baby.
A little young'un.
When he was a
little scallywag.
And he had a grasshopper, he came out and said, Mum?
What's my name? No, she said, Mummy, what's my name? And Mummy said, your name's Billy Bob. Billy Bob!
I like the sound of that. It's pretty cool.
Is that what normally happens? Like, children don't know their name. They start learning to speak without a name.
Then
they ask their parents, what's my name?
Isn't that the first thing you said when I was born? The first thing I said was, Mummy, how should I introduce myself?
First words, absolutely.
Well, you could use your name. And what would that be, Mummy? Come on. Hurry up. I haven't got all day. Luke.
Get a move
is
on.
Is that it? Just one syllable? Is that all I've got to work with?
Luke, I can't help noticing that your mum sounds quite a lot like an oak tree.
Don't go there. I don't want to do the oak tree thing. I think I probably lost about 1,000 listeners last time, just because I decided to teach people how to speak like an oak tree. Oh, if there's one thing I need to learn when it comes to English, you know, there's all those listeners all over the world who need to get jobs, and you know, their countries are in recession, and it's like, I desperately need to learn English as a foreign language, specifically how to speak English like an oak tree would.
Or an elm, at least.
And elms are sort of...
They're far more difficult. I wouldn't ask you to do that.
And that's another podcast, the ways in which trees might speak if they did speak English. Although you could probably listen to... You could probably watch Lord of the Rings, because there are trees that speak.
Yes, and that's very long... Sounds again. It was almost from the cowboy, but even longer.
Treebeard. You know,
Treebeard,
the character Treebeard in Lord of the Rings is a bit annoying because he constantly says, no, I'm not a tree. I'm an ant. And he goes on about this quite a lot. But dude, your name is Treebeard. Tree.
If you've read the book, then you know, of course, that this just goes on forever in the book. Yeah. And they go and they have an ant meeting to decide if they can help the hobbits. And they're all the ants.
They're called ants.
They join a circle, and I don't even remember how long. How many days?
It goes on for like 900 years or something.
But this particular meeting was several days, I think. And they just stand there and they look. No one says anything, and then occasionally one will grumble, which is a sign that one of them is preparing to speak.
Yeah.
And they would say continually in the book, it's just like, these things mustn't be rushed.
Yes.
Come back tomorrow.
Ooh, you can't be hasty.
Yeah, no haste. Absolutely. But our friends are dying.
Ooh, let's not be hasty. No, literally, they're dying. They're dying right now. Ooh, we can't rush these things. Well, it's not really up to you, Treebeard. You know, this is...
Saruman has gained in power. Sauron is gaining in power. Bad things are happening. People are dying. My friends are out there somewhere. I don't know where. And
can we have another 5 minutes?
Because who has the biscuits? Exactly. And it just goes on for a long time like that. But it's great that to speak like an ant.
I thought you said ant.
Ent.
E-N-T. Ent. It's a kind of creature from the Lord of the Rings
but
movies.
Definitely not a tree.
It's not a tree. Definitely. It looks like a tree. Smells like a tree. Isn't it a tree, though, apparently.
Isn't it an insect in New Zealand?
That's a... That's just the way they would pronounce the word ant.
Ant, mate.
Yeah, an ant. Ant. No.
Ant. Like end, but with a T instead of a D.
Talking of end, I think maybe that's a good moment for us to end this episode. But it was very nice to meet you, Mark. We didn't really get to know you as much as we could have done, but I'm sure that's fine, and the world will carry on.
Nice to meet you too.
Nice to meet
you. Thanks for coming.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for listening to this odd episode. I keep saying this, but at the end of every episode now, I say, that was the most ridiculous episode of Luke's English Podcast.
There was plenty of learning in there, though.
I think there was. There were lots of expressions and idioms and things.
Yeah, definitely.
And lots of sort of nonsense as well, and that's fine. That's we all like a bit of nonsense.
Maybe we could use them...
Once in a while?
Yeah, every now and then.
Or every now and then.
But maybe we could use them in the next one.
Okay.
When we're doing accents.
Okay. Yeah, we'll try and we'll endeavour to
sleep on it.
Create a little bridge.
Yeah, we'll sleep on that idea. It's a good idea. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we'll end up doing that.
Yeah, good idea. Right. Hopefully, what you can do, listeners, all you need to do is just listen to this episode over and over again, study the idioms, and then you'll know them all like the back of your hand.
But don't bite off more than you can chew, because there are a number here.
So. My advice would be just get stuck in there.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You're just contradicting my advice. Okay. Don't bend over backwards to learn all of them at once.
Oh, we must stop, because otherwise Kate's going to be late, and you'll probably make it in the nick of time if you leave now.
I think I might make it by the skin of my teeth.
Yes, I think so.
I think I'm going to be late, actually.
Are you? Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Thanks very much for joining me this time. And you'll hear more from this kind of thing soon. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget to visit teacherluke.podomatic.com for more information.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.